Thank you for staying with us on Consider This with me, Melissa Idris and Sharad Kutan. We're going to continue our discussion on the newly announced cabinet lineup. Joining us on the line now, we have Oh Isan, fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Isan, thank you for joining us this evening. So I want to start with your initial impression from this cabinet lineup. Is this lineup a picture of stability, Isan?
Well, I think people are, of course, are breathing a sigh of relief when you don't see some of those, shall we say, potential members who are sort of mired in corruption and various other scandals. So the, most of these members, as the Prime Minister said, have been vetted by the Anti-Corruption Commission, and hopefully they will remain relatively clean. I think the division between those, shall we say, more core ministries, which are still helmed by the leaders of various political parties, but there are some, shall we say, more functional ministries, such as health ministry and so on, which are now helmed by some of those professionals. For example, health ministry is helmed by a medical doctor. Yeah.
Isan, regardless of the shape and the composition of the cabinet, the issue is the Prime Minister of the day has to rely on UMNO and PAS as his political base in Parliament. He has no government without them. The kinds of influence they and strength and power they have and leverage they have over him will be considerable. Is that something that observers will also be looking at beyond the question of who's in the cabinet and who was not? Allowed in, as it were.
Well, indeed, because UMNO is, shall we say, the largest component party in the coalition. So, of course, they take the lion's share of this cabinet seat. And, of course, you will see the cabinet will be, to a large extent, dominated by UMNO. By surprise is actually that PAS, with its, quite considerable number of seats, they have only, according to my count, perhaps only three cabinet positions. And those are not necessarily positions which are really sort of in line with their political struggle.
Okay.
I think we are talking about some sort of primary industries and so on.
Right. So on that note, now I'm just wondering, you know, there had been concerns that this would be a Muslim dominator, a dominant ethnically non-representative government. Have those concerns panned out?
Well, of course, the political reality is this coalition consists of largely Malay members of parliament. Therefore, the sort of the shape of the new cabinet would have to be a predominantly Malay one because, well, unless you are really appointing a lot of senators, you don't have a lot of non-Malay senators. So, indeed, that is indeed an overwhelmingly Malay cabinet with some token representations from non-Malays, from East Malaysians, and so on. We would need to let it run for a few months to see how it will pan out here.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, two out of the four senator positions are actually going to MCA political leaders. But I want to ask you, Isan, about the Sarawak story, because I think that's also one of the big stories of today. Huge amount of Sarawakian representation. For a country like even like Singapore and those of the region, watching this federation as it changes, do you think there are concerns, the looseness of the federation, the demands of autonomy from Sarawak? Do you think these are things to watch?
Well, Sarawak has been extremely vocal in its demand for more autonomy, for more devolution of rights and privileges and so on. But in the latest turn of political events, they decided to sort of support this coalition. In return, they are rewarded with a number of quite important ministries, including one of these senior ministers being from Sarawak. So how they will square that with, within the state of Sarawak, their consistent demand for more rights versus the federal level and so on. I mean, I don't quite understand how they would sort of reconcile those two points, shoring up the federal government and then sort of fighting for state rights.
Right. Well, I know you mentioned that it's early days. Still, we have to give them some time to see the trajectory of this new cabinet. But I'm just wondering, do you expect a policy continuity, especially in the management of the country's economy?
Well, I think this country would have sort of a very stable economic policy, actually. Even if we had a change of government 2 years ago and now this latest change of government, I'm quite confident that we, as a country, will still be very much pro-investment, pro-business, and in general, very welcoming of foreign investments here.
And lastly, Ihsan, your take on the international credibility of this government. What do you think foreign observers, foreign governments are looking at when they see this new government and this new lineup?
Well, this cabinet lineup, I think, will not change the opinions of the international community a lot, because I think what they are looking for is some sort of semblance of legitimacy. For example, a clear-cut parliamentary majority for this government, because until today, we still don't quite know who exactly consists of their parliamentary majority. So until such time, I think you will not see a lot of congratulatory messages pouring in for this new government here.
All right, thank you so much for joining us this evening
and
sharing those insights. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have on this episode of Consider This. We'll be back with you same time tomorrow night, 10 p.m. I'm Melissa Idris with Sharad Kutan signing off for tonight. Thank you for watching and have a great evening.